Amen. Thank you. If you've got a Bible today, turn with us to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. This has been weighing heavily on my heart through the night and morning. So I feel the burden that I need to preach. I'd ask you, bear with me. I can't expect you to know where I stand today unless you've ever stood here. But I can tell you one thing I've got to do. I've got to mind God. So in Luke 15, you'll notice that in chapter 15, verse 3, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, Jesus did this. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? 1%, God is interested in them. One out of 100, God said, it may not seem to be much to you, but it means a whole lot to me. We don't think of just one gone. It really don't bother us, but I want to say it bothers the Lord this morning. And then He goes from 1/10, and now, or from 1%, now He goes to simply 10%. Either in verse 8, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? When she hath found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which was lost. God's interested in the 1%. God's interested in the 10%. But you'll notice now in this third parable passage, God is even interested in the multitude or the 50%. For He simply said this, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good grace of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God that stirred amongst our souls today. Help us in the preaching. Do that only, Spirit of God, that of what you can do for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I'm glad God is interested in 1%. I'm glad that when one is missing, God is very interested in that. Can I tell you, you may not seem to be much in a number, but God is interested in you and God is interested in me simply as individuals. We're not a number to God. God knows you by name. God sent His Son to die for you, to get you out of hell, and God is interested in you this morning. Then God is interested in 10%. You know, 10% really is not a lot, but it's a lot when God's concerned about it. And so now in this passage, we see now where a man simply is even interested in the 50% or half. He had two sons. And I'm going to preach on this passage this morning on this father's child. On this father's child out of Luke 15. And you'll notice in verse number 12, this father, he simply had two sons in verse 11. But in verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Now, first of all, I want you to notice this father's child and the love for his flesh. Or the love for his self. He loved his self. He was very self-centered and he thought a lot of his self. You say, why do you say that? Well, in verse 12, look at his desire. Give me. Give me. Me, 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 me. I'm going to tell you, me gets me in trouble a lot of time. This boy was very self-centered and we see his desire. Now, he was desiring to have independence. There's nothing wrong with having independence as long as you have God. But he wanted total independence. He didn't think that he needed God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we need God. God wants us to stand on our own two feet, but He don't want us to forget where our bread's buttered at this morning. He said, give me. There's the loving of his flesh, his desire. But secondly, look at his dependence. He said, that falleth to me. He said, you owe me something. I want to nail this down this morning. God owes us nothing, but he gave us his son, and he gave us everything. That's the attitude of this culture and this generation. Everybody owes me something. Young people, let me tell you something. God don't owe us nothing. This world don't owe us nothing. If it weren't for the grace of God that passes all understanding. I like what the youth choir sang this morning. Thank God I'm not going to hell. We see this love of his flesh. He loved himself. We see his desire, his dependence. He simply said, now, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not only his desire and his dependence, but we see his division. You see, when he left God out, it took him away from the family. I've noticed this thing in our lives, this thing of desire and dependence. We get to thinking that we're really something and we can do something without him. But I'll remind you, this Bible said in John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. I agree more with that statement than any I've ever heard today. We need God. I need God. We all need God. We've got to have God in our homes and in our churches this morning. Now we see this love of his flesh, his desire, his dependence. Then we see his division. He left God out, and it always brings division from the family. When you leave God out, you remember this,
You say, well, I'm not hurting nobody but me. That's a lie of the devil. Your sin and my sin, it goes around the country, honey, and it hurts your house and my house. It hurts our church. It hurts our country. There's a price for a sinful life this morning. Now, the loving of his flesh. Number two, the leaving of his family. In verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. It don't take long, does it? I'd be careful about me throwing rocks at somebody at the far country. I'm not legalizing sin. Sin will make you pay more than you got to pay. It'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. You start playing with sin, honey, it won't be long. Sin will be playing you and making a fool out of you in your life. You better stay away from sin. It brought hurt on other people. My actions go beyond me. How self-centered I am to think that my sinful lifestyle would not affect other people. It will affect my family. It will affect the church that I pastor and the church that I attend. And it seems like in this culture, nobody really cares about what we're spreading on anybody else or pushing on anybody else. But honey, you remember what this man of God said? There's a payday coming for our sin. The loving of his flesh, the leaving of his family, his decision, not many days. Then his distraction, he took his journey. And then his direction, he went to a far country. You know something, I've noticed this about the decisions and distractions always lead to a direction. See, we live in a culture, and this is sort of where I live this morning. Tell you as your preacher, then I'm going to get on through preaching. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. Now, I know what's what. I might not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but I do know a little bit about life, about family, about church, about friends, and about this Bible. And I'm going to tell you, this culture is facing more today than any culture that has ever lived. You say, why do you say that? I'm talking about these distractions. You young people, you can plug in to the media news today and you can see things that we used to blush about when I was a young man. I mean, we see nakedness and pornography. We see filthiness. We see people cheating on each other and running, getting somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. Honey, you better be careful to quit looking in the far country. There's distraction. Then you go to looking at them. Then you go to dressing like them. You got on your Daisy Duke britches and wonder why everybody's whistling and running over chairs about you. Cover up his nakedness. We can see a little folks over there carousing, drinking their Bud Dumber. That Bud don't make you wiser, makes you act stupid. You look over there, well, they smoking a little weed. I'll go smoke a little weed. I want to ask you something. What got him distracted from the Father's house? The devil showed him something that looked pretty. Can I tell you, sin looks pretty, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We got some of the greatest young people. Did you see the power of God on their singing this morning? We ought to keep it on their singing. You ought to keep them dressed right. You ought to know where they're at. You ought to be concerned about your children this morning. You ought to know what they're looking at, who they're hanging out with, where they're going, what they're watching. I used to hide mine behind the lid of an 8-track tape player. Because Mom and Daddy didn't even know how to load the 8-track. Well, you ought to know where they're hiding spots at and clean it out and burn it for the glory of God this morning. I'm glad it's quiet. I'm telling you this morning, there was a leaven of His flesh. There was a leaving of His family. The easiest thing in the world you can do is disconnect from your family. That's not going to help you. It's easy to disconnect. I've heard people say, we don't come to church anymore because their feelings got hurt. You know why their feelings got hurt? Because they wanted their feelings to get hurt. Your feelings will get hurt down at the Bass Pro. They'll get hurt at Walmart. And you keep going down there. Honey, you got to want to do something at the house of God. Brother Mike bought a great deal on a Kimber pistol. But now they won't sell it to me. But my feelings ain't hurt. I'm going to go back down there and catch it on sale again. It ain't their fault. It's my fault. Quit looking around for a reason to disconnect. Look for a reason to connect. The Father's child. The leaven of His flesh, the leaven of His family. Verse 14, the lying and filth. The Bible said, and when He had spent all. Let me tell you something. You may think you got everything right now, honey, but you wait till it's all gone. And you may not think it means much right now, but you wait till you ain't got nothing left. I seen little Sophie and Gretchen singing. Looked at me across the piano. God's blessed me. God's been good to me. When I look and see little old children look out at the preacher and smile and think their families are sitting here, that ought to mean something to you this morning. His lying and his filth, spend it all. Thank God I've got some things the devil ain't got. The devil's aim and his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil don't want to just cripple you and wound you. He wants to devastate you. Lying and filth. Look at his spending. Now look at his joining. The Bible said when he spent all that rose a mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Didn't he know the way back home? The craziest thing in the world, when you're living in sin and you want to get better, you don't keep running with them. It's just like you and living like the devil. You are who you run with, and I don't give a rip what you think about that or what you say about it. I got Bible about, honey. It does matter the company you keep. I get to running with the wrong crowd, I'd be a heathen in 6 weeks. I'm scared of them folks. I'm scared of them boundaries. I don't trust myself. Brother Lee preached Wednesday night, so true. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul realized he's a wretch. I realize I'm a wretch. And I can't go places where my wretchedness will get me in trouble. God's put boundaries in our lives. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. God didn't put them Ten Commandments in our lives to bring law to us.
and to lock us up. He brought that to bring us freedom. If we will live by the Ten Commandments, there's freedom in our house. And when you go against God's Word, it brings bondage. The devil will tell you, well, that's just too strict. I ain't doing that. Well, you got one of two options. You can get saved and die and go to the devil's hell, or you can get saved and live for God. It ain't no in between. So we see his lying in his filth. He joined himself. His spending, his joining. And then watch this, his warning. When he spent all that, rose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him in the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have... Now watch this. This is something you may not realize. Verse 16. He would have gladly filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know what just happened here? He went out and joined himself, and a man had hired him as a slave, and the hogs was eating better than what he could eat. He said, I'd have loved to had some of that the hogs was eating, but I couldn't even eat what they was eating. Well, let me tell you, it don't take you long when you're out in sin. There's nothing can fill up your appetite in sin. The more you sin, the more sin you want. I want you to notice this about him, his loving of his flesh, the leaving of his family, the lying in filth. But then I think there is some learning of facts. He learned about the husk. You know, I want you to look at that because I want you to look at it in verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Husk. Husk. Just the shuck off the corn. The husk. That's where sin will take you. A lot of you think you've got nothing and God's been so bad to you. Let me tell you what. What little you got is a whole lot when you've done lost it all. Well, them sardines with mustard and crackers I eat may not seem much to nobody else. But Brother Dave, when you ain't got them, you appreciate them. That family God's blessed you with may not seem much to you in this world's eyes. But when you've lost your whole family, you're going to realize how important they really were to you. You know why he lost it all? Simply one word. Sin. Sin. You say, preacher, you can't build a ministry this size preaching while you preach it. Well, what am I supposed to do? Be a puppet? Or be a politician? Maybe I just get so liberal that nothing's wrong anymore. Then watch your church get padlocked. And no place where the Holy Ghost moves and you can get help for your life. There was a loving of his flesh. There was the leaving of his family. There was the lying in filth. There was the learning of facts. But verse 18, there was a looking by faith. Look what it says. I will arise and go to my Father. Now, this looking by faith. Look, first of all, this is real important today. And I'm about done preaching. Watch your Bible. Look at his contrite heart. I will arise and go to my Father. He didn't go back to what he is doing. But he said, you know what? I'm sorry the way I've done, and I'm headed back to the Father's house. I want to say, there is a way back this morning. His contrite heart. Number two, this is hard for a lot of people. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. But it's very important for repentance. Not only his contrite heart, but look at his confessed sin. I will rise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. God, I'm coming honest with you. It ain't nobody else's fault. I did it. We are accountable for the choices we make. We love the blame game. Well, I'll tell you why I did this. I'll tell you why I did this, because he did this to me. Really? I'll tell you why I did this, because she did this to me. I tell you why I did this, because they did this to me. Let me ask you something. Is your action from reaction sin? It's nobody else's fault but mine. I can't blame nobody else's sin that I've committed. I can't blame nobody else for the sin I've committed. I have sinned. I did this, Lord. I've done this. And you watch this. And you always remember your preacher told you this. You'll never see anybody get to the Father's house till they become guilty of their own sin. I have sinned. And then, not only that love in the flesh, that leaving a family, that lying in filth, that looking in faith, but there's the love of the Father. In verse 20, say, this is what the devil will tell you. You can't get back. Now, this is an amazing thing to me. I've heard people say, well, I can't get back to where I was. Well, I want to ask you something. Look what the Father done. He put a robe on him. Then you know what he done? He took a ring. Lord, mine's so swollen, I can't get it off. He took a ring and he put it back on his finger. Boy, isn't that something? Mr. Now, you can tell I'm always wearing my wedding band. I'm white under there. Wouldn't that be so sad? Brother Roger, I've been here at the Father's house, but my ring's gone. Wouldn't that be terrible? But when I get honest with God, I'll say, God, I did it. I'm sorry, I did it. It sure does feel better. I've got on what belongs. Now, I close this. I didn't preach for 17 minutes last Sunday. Brother Ryan comes and said, preacher, it's so unusual that I got something to tell you. You didn't preach long enough for the radio broadcast. So I'm going to make up for it this morning. The love of the Father had compassion on him. Now this is where we need to understand as a church. There's an elder brother out there. The elder brother didn't appreciate. Matter of fact, he just throwed rocks about what his younger brother had done. Just throwed rocks at him. Throwed rocks at him. You wasted it with harlots. You wasted it. We know that. We understand that. But God wasn't happy about his attitude. God wasn't happy about his attitude. Now, there's three sons in this parable. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen three sons in this parable? There's the prodigal. There's the elder brother that was so mad when his younger brother got home, been way out there. He is so jealous because God restored him back completely and loved him, had compassion. Well, where's the third son? I read it to you and told you to underline it. Jesus said it right before the first parable. He told them this parable, and that's why the writing in some of your Bibles is red. That's the third son. And he said, you know, when the prodigal came home, that elder brother had the father's house. But listen, I'm done preaching. He didn't have the father's heart. You see, the third son, Jesus, that wrote this passage, he not only knew about the father's house, but he had the father's heart. Do you have the Father's heart? I warn your children about sin. Have I not just done that the last 35 minutes? What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't preach against sin? God can restore you. And it's not God's people. It's not God's people's place to talk, to ridicule. Some of you on the phone about so-and-so. Somebody, I would love sometime to say what I think. What about so-and-so? Time out. What about you? What about you? You see, this is the thing about sin. Sin will take you further than you thought you'd ever go. How in the world was I here? And now I'm here. How? It's simple. It's sin. We got to be scared to death of sin. You don't play with sin. Sin will play you. Me and Brother Adam, Brother Jason, was in Manchester, Georgia yesterday, moved a lady to Bowden. You would not believe what was on the porch next door to this lady. You wouldn't believe. He was playing music and words and things that I've never heard before. Strung out. How did he get there? Be careful. You can get there. Miss Sherry, come please. I want to say this morning. There's room at the Father's house. There's resources at the Father's house. There's a remedy at the Father's house. Lord, it's me. You know, when my life don't line up with this Bible, it's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. I have sinned.
I have did this. I have made the decision to do this. Now I'm making the decision to do this. This morning, are you saved? Jesus loves you. Has there ever been a time that you were like the prodigal? You came to yourself, you seen yourself guilty, and you said, God, I'm a sinner and I have sinned and I want you to accept me. Can I tell you, He will today? He'd write your name down yonder in the book of life. I'm glad my name's in there. Is yours there? Then, mom and daddies, I want to ask y'all something today. Can I ask you something? I love being a pastor because I want to ask you this by experience. If that was your youngin' out there, I wonder how that the parents felt. Those families that was associated to this prodigal, I wonder how they felt. They needed support. He needed support, but he had to learn he was guilty of his own sin. Have you got a child out there? You got a grandchild out there? You got a neighbor out there? Are you out there? Or won't you come home this morning? Just simply, he looked by faith. He sure did. He said he knew where he could go. To the Father's house. You might not can go to your neighbor's, but I tell you where you can go. You can go to the Father's house. This morning, I open this altar. Would you come this morning? Would you come, if you need to be saved, would you come trust God to save you this morning? I wonder, would you come and pray and ask God to help you in your situation? Would you come?